in the ministry that the Lord allowed me to be in Chicago for several years before I was led here, there was one man that was a very sincere Christian man, and had a number of talks with him. But he had some very major psychological problems, and it's always a difficult thing because spiritual solutions are always the answer, but sometimes situations can become pretty severe. But when he was doing better, one of the things that became very obvious as to a major contributing factor to his emotional issues was the fact he wouldn't work. He was a good, healthy guy, and for whatever reason, he just never would get a job. And I remember my father telling me, he says, you know, you can counsel him till you're blue in the face, but until he makes the decision to obey God and work, he's going to have problems with his emotions. And that really stuck with me. And it just kills you because what a sincere fellow. But for whatever reason, that was a very real issue. This matter of work is basic. In Genesis, you have the creation of man. And God said in chapter 1, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over, and it names the whole creation of God. And he made them to function in the leadership, made Adam with the support of his helpmeet, Eve, to have leadership over the earth. He named all of the species. That in itself would be work. And he managed the earth on behalf of God. So God put in the very, could I say, spiritual DNA and even physical DNA of every person that he created the matter of needing to follow God's will and accomplishing God's purpose, which would mean a full and complete effort of all that God had given us as far as energy and ability. Well, then you go to chapter 3 and you see the fall in Genesis. And the fall, of course, the first one that was dealt with, and of course we rejoice in that, and that is the first prophecy of the coming Messiah, verse 15 of chapter 3, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, speaking to Satan here, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. And folks, that happened at the cross, and we can be very encouraged by that. Then to the woman, he speaks of in sorrow that she would bring forth children. But then to Adam, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So work, when it was first instituted in a sinless creation, work was the great joy and privilege of obeying God. When the fall came, there was the curse upon mankind, the ground, and all that was about that, and so there would be work by the sweat of the brow, to be able to eat, to be able to exist, to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. And now, work began to be associated with negative labor. Now, I want us to realize that the way you escape a negative attitude toward work is to get back in the will of God and accomplish what God has called you to, both in ministry and in your vocation, through the Spirit of God's enabling, and you begin to have the freedom and joy in your soul to know that all of the labor, sometimes very hard labor, even with tears and the sweat of the brow, but all of this you can rejoice in because God is enabling you, you are in the will of God, and the blessing comes back again. So the matter of work gets right down to our relationship with God, gets down to God's creation, the fall, the restoration of man through the salvation that we have in Christ and the enabling power of the Spirit of God in our lives. So there's a lot that is involved with this. And so it really gets down to work in light of being in alignment with God and His will. But regardless, we should work. Now, you can turn with me to one other passage before we get to our Proverbs look, and that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In this passage, the Apostle Paul deals with some that were saying they didn't need to work because of the coming of the Lord or other perspectives, and he calls this a schismatic problem. He deals with this very strongly. And we'll start up at verse 6 of chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. We have been modeling New Testament Christianity. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor, work, and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. You see, Paul could have followed the principles that the Holy Spirit gave him, that the laborer is worthy or of his labor and should be supported, but he did not, because he did not want to give any wrong impression in that day as he was starting off the work of the Lord. So he worked hard. Not because we have not power, he said, we could have, we had the authority to do it, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not, say it with me, work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they, say it with me, work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Okay, we started at creation and the fact that we are going to have to work, but it's not going to be pleasant because of the fall. It's in our very created order that we are to work. God made us to have dominion, to do that which God wants us to do. The blessing comes when we're in the will of God. And in the New Testament here, when we do not work, we should not eat. And we should use our time for the glory of God. And that's a very clear passage. And so it affects you spiritually. In fact, it's a schismatic matter. Now, let me just say here, so there's no misunderstanding, some people can't work. That's understandable. But we're talking about those that can and who are responsible, and it affects your walk with God. It affects your, as I mentioned in the opening illustration, your mental stability. It affects your opportunity in life. And so it needs to be, if we can, we must. And let me just say, if you are willing to trust God, it's amazing what God will do to make it possible for you to work. And it's a wonderful thing. And we need to be willing to work hard. All right, that is an introduction. Now let's go to Proverbs. And again, get your thumb ready to go if you want to try to follow me in these passages. But we're going to look at some aspects of work, and then what God thinks about laziness. Already was referred to, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So, work is all about the basic necessities of life. We were talking earlier, some of us, about the fact that you go to third world countries, and people work all day just to eat one meal that night. You know, it's just a totally different mentality. It's hard for us as Americans, and they work hard. And those that do not work do not eat. And that's a very real thing. And so it is first and foremost to meet the needs to be able to exist and to honor God here on this planet. Chapter 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons or empty pursuits shall have poverty enough. Chapter 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding, wasting time, looking for fun, wanting to enjoy ourselves, not fulfilling the responsibilities that we should have. Now think about it. Part of the model prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, inherent in what I've already shown you from the scripture, what should we take from that? Give us the ability to earn what needs to be done for our daily bread. And God will always do it. I've had missionaries tell me, in some of the most poverty-stricken areas, Christians who were walking with God, who were faithful in giving and tithing on their meager existence, they always lived better than the population at large. God always honors. It's an amazing thing. Haven't you found that as you follow stewardship and you do what's right and you get your priorities in order? God does bless. God always meets the need. Sometimes it's right at the time, but it's a wonderful thing, and you begin to realize that we are receiving from the Lord. But one of the key aspects here is work. And so we need to realize that it is the necessity to take care of ourselves. It's the responsibility of the breadwinner. That's where that term comes from. And we should work. Now, looking at someone who is honoring God by work, there's some things talked about here in being how to be successful and so those that are industrious and faithful. First of all, someone who is a good worker is one who plans and orders his tasks. Chapter 24, verse 27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. In other words, do things in order. Now, folks, this is not going to, I'm not going to overemphasize here about planning and priority planning. I say a lot about that. But you know, a lot of times we waste our work, we squander what we have by not having right priorities, not planning, not utilizing the monies that we make properly. And so therefore, we can become very discouraged, and people sometimes just give up. So it is very important in the matter of work to use what God has given us through our labor strategically. Remember, every dollar you earn is part of your life. You labored. You gave time and effort to make that money. And so therefore, it's part of your own being. Don't waste it. Manage it properly. Organize it. Do first things first, and then God will bless. We need to be very diligent in what we do. It's very inherent, obviously, in the matter of work. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, folks, do not, when someone works hard and does well, and they're a brother, do not be jealous of them. Thank God that they've worked hard. Thank God that God has blessed them. That's one thing we cannot have as believers. And trust that they will use it as God would have them use it. That's their business. But it is a biblical principle to work hard, and those that reap because of hard work, you need to praise the Lord for that. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. In other words, a person that's diligent, stays at it, stays faithful, doesn't give up, works hard, will be able to have plenty. But someone who is not diligent, jumps from one thing to another thing, doesn't finish the job, is impulsive, is driven by emotions, they're going to lack. Stick with it. By the way, one of the keys in life is to keep doing something. If God's put it in front of you, it may not be the most fun thing to do at the time, but stay faithful and make sure you're in the will of God if you ever change anything. But learn to stay with the stuff. Don't go from one thing to the next. And there's something about that. Then there's the attitude in the matter of work to do this for those who are over you, to have the right kind of testimony and to work hard. Chapter 25, verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. In both Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 3, we are clearly told that if we're believers, we are to work hard for those who are over us as a testimony of our genuine Christianity. And by the way, they were speaking there to slaves who had no rights, and still they were commanded to submit and have a good testimony and to work hard. And folks, in the midst of, and it's really hard because some of you are in settings where if you really work hard and fulfill the expectations of your boss, your co-laborers aren't real happy with you. They don't like you to show them up. God has to give you wisdom. But a Christian ought to outwork everybody. They ought to have that kind of testimony because they want to respect those that are over them. And you need to teach your young people as they begin to start working for someone else, whether it be a lawn job or something like that, to work fully and to exceed the expectations of those who are paying them. Chapter 13, verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. And then when you work, you need to do it right, you need to be faithful, and you need to get it done on time. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Any of you have worked the harvest, there's a window of time in which you are going to work nonstop, all the labor. You come to that point, and you have to be diligent, and you have to be on time. You've got to get it done well. You know, it is so important. Let me say, parents, assignment should be done on time. Young people, it should never be in your head that you can get an extension. You ought to always, whatever it takes, get something done on time, get it done well. And all the professors said, amen. Okay. honestly, there is enough time to do the will of God. And learn to work hard. Do not slack when it's harvest time. Work hard. That little bit of effort and that focus. You know, the Holy Spirit is always pleased when you do what's right. And I'm amazed when you get right in the will of God, what seems like an impossible task, you have divine help to do it. And it just flows. And when you're seeking the Lord, it's amazing what can be done. But when we let our weaker character cause us to be more self-indulgent and we don't get things done, then we're not going to go anywhere on our jobs or in any of our studies or anything that we do. Now, ladies, we could certainly give you one chapter to commend you to hard work, and what would that be? Chapter 31. I won't read the whole chapter. The whole thing could be read, of course. But again, a woman in her home should be organized and should know what to do. Chapter 31, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. So it's very important in rearing children and in homemaking and in supporting your husband to plan and to be willing to work hard to accomplish what God would have you accomplish there. And I tell you, when you're in the home like that, that's a very hard situation because things aren't laid out for you. Now, husbands, you need to lead and help give direction. That's such a help. But you need to pray for your wives because it can be frustrating. You can get overwhelmed. You can get caught. And so it's important to just stay going forward, ladies, and God will give you wisdom in that regard. You need to be willing to work with all of your strength. Chapter 31, verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength. She strengtheneth her arms. And God then blesses her, verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So that's a whole chapter there, the last part of it, on the need to work in the home. And then there will be a reward for those that do work hard. God's laws are always true. And so there will be profit from labor. Chapter 14, verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Don't talk about it, do it. Now you need to get wisdom and plan, Always folks that are talking about when they're going to do it. And then there's the guy that's already got it half done while they're talking about it. And that's what needs to be done. And there will be profit. Chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And there is going to be a recognition for what you do. Chapter 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men, lower men. Chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Chapter 17, verse 2, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. So many times, because of not working hard, people get in debt, they get in bad places where they have to depend upon other people. And that really begins to, like I said, play on the emotions and pressures and relationships. And so God will bless work. Chapter 27, verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Even a good servant like Joseph with Potiphar, when working hard, and clearly the hand of God is upon your life, God will allow you to have opportunities that you would not have if you were not trusting the Lord and willing to work. Advancement comes through work. You say, well, in our economy, we're talking God's economy. Forget American economy. Wherever you go, you work hard, you trust the Lord, you do what's right, you have the right attitude toward your boss, you have the right attitude toward, if you're a boss, toward those that are under you, and you work with all of your heart by the power of God and follow Him, God's economy will work. I promise you, it will work. And you'll enjoy what God gives you from all of your labor. Chapter 10, verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. God will give you life. Chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And so it is God's plan. It's built into us. It is that which honors God. It is the way to be a good Christian. We must learn to work hard. All things being equal, a spirit-empowered believer ought to outwork anybody. And we've lost some of that today. And so we need to work hard. And why do we want to work hard? Well, we want to please God. We realize that's how we're made. That's how we meet our needs. But folks, we work hard so we can meet other people's needs. Our family, number one, we have a responsibility. We don't want to be an infidel, as 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, if we don't take care of our own family. And then it just allows us to be able to meet other people's needs and to support the work of God. Well, laziness, the slothful person, the person who allows emotions to override work. Now, folks, who wants to get up in the morning naturally and get up there? Well, you get used to enjoying to do that, I should say. Your character gets developed, but our sinful nature doesn't like that. I mean, when you allow yourself to do what you feel and you're not walking with God, you're going to pull away from work, and all you do is destroy your own life. So what are some of the characteristics of a lazy person? Well, they don't really have any ambition. No reason for living. Nothing to get them up. Very descriptive. Chapter 26, verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon the bed. That verse, I guess my parents must have quoted it to me, because you might be able to sleep in a little longer sometime, and you start going back and forth, and sometime that verse will come. The door upon the hinges, bang, I get up. Phooey, I'm in the slothful part here. Forget that, you know. That's a very interesting, very descriptive. The verse before it, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, is it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Just so lethargic. Chapter 19, verse 24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not bring, I'm sorry, it's the same, almost the exact same wording there. And then how he wastes what he has. He that is slothful, verse 8, chapter 18, verse 9, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Chapter 12, verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not with that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Just wasting things and not utilizing. You know, it's work to manage your money right. It's work to control your emotions when you do have money. We're talking here about diligence and following the priorities that the Lord gives in our lives, and making impulsive decisions are tragic and cause us to be in a very, very bad place. Chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Little secret here, folks. You see the person out there working hard, farmer is tilling his field properly. A husbandman is handling his vineyard. Everything's in order. The weeds are gone. I mean, there has been long hours, morning, tonight. But I can tell you right now, that man sleeps well, and he's in good health. Even our body is made to work. That's why we have so many health problems when we see slothfulness today in our culture, and we are viewing life instead of living life. We are spectators instead of participants, and it does affect you. Then excuses are made for this kind of inaction. Chapter 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You know, it's too cold out there today, or it's too hot out there today. Chapter 26, verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Oh, I tell you what, somebody's making excuses. Again, we go back to students, professors. I tell you, it is amazing, the excuses. And I mean, it's much more sophisticated today than the dog ate my homework, you know. It's amazing how computers at just the right time lose the assignment. And all kind of, I'm not saying that students lie, but it's amazing the excuses that can come up, we can come up with not to have finished, not to do it well, not to work hard, not to be responsible. And it's very, again, very graphic here. I love this one. Chapter 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. And he's just a lion to say that. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, I have heard of a couple of stories where lions were in the streets, and you have a good reason then not to go to work for at least a few minutes. All right? But, I mean, some things get so ridiculous. You know, it's really getting bad out there. You know, it's dangerous to go outside and or whatever. And then it's repeated in chapter 22, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Well, not real good to have these kind of folks work for you. Now, we've got a great set of millennials here. They're learning, they're growing, they're willing to be corrected. I'm so thankful for them. But have you read recently or in the last about 7 or 8 years what employers are saying about millennial employees? It is really difficult. Not willing to work hard. It's all about what they want to do. Very hard to be under authority. Not willing to follow through and do a job that is excellent. It just is a big problem today. Well, chapter 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now think about that. Ever had your teeth on edge or ever been standing by a bonfire and that smoke, that wind turns and that smoke gets in your eyes? I mean, that is irritating. Well, any bosses here know that a sluggard as an employee or a child in a family that is a sluggard is a great irritant. You're no blessing at all. In fact, if you wonder why people don't want to ask you to do things and to be part of things, it's like smoke to the eyes. Very graphic again. Well, it is sad what the consequences are. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Chapter 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. In other words, someone who's not working still wants what everybody else has. They can actually end up stealing, but they're coveting, they're feeling bad, and all they're worrying about is themselves, whereas someone who's diligent is willing and able to give to others and to be a blessing. Chapter 19, verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Chapter 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And all the difficulties that are faced, as I mentioned, how the debt can pile up, and the problems, a house that is not maintained, other things that are not maintained, work that is not accomplished. Chapter 15, verse 19, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. And then the hand of the diligent, chapter 12, verse 24, shall bear rule, as we read before, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, folks, that's a lot that's said, and it didn't give it all. The book of Proverbs, from beginning to end, deal with the great dangers of not being in the will of God, not living wisely, and not giving of ourselves wholly to whatever we do. The person that's going to be healthy spiritually, mentally, and physically is going to be the person that's willing to go past how they feel and the natural sinful nature to go the easy route and give themselves, and God will allow us to produce, God will allow us to grow, God will allow us to accomplish many things. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we will have the great freedom and liberty to do it. Let me just read a Proverbs conclusion to you here. Learn from the ant. Chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come one as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Folks, it's pretty bad when the ants can outdo us, okay? You realize the animal kingdom, the insect world, all of them have instincts. What instinct did God put in them to get the job done? We have no instincts. We must look to the Lord for direction and for the power to accomplish what we should accomplish. And so we need to realize that our natural way is not going to be to do all that we should do, not to put the extra effort, not to give of ourselves, not to be sacrificial. It's going to be about self, and we will find ourselves suffering because of that. Well, there's no natural instinct. You can even look at the animal kingdom and realize they know what the will of God is. But may we give our best to the Master who has saved us. Let's bow for prayer. So many ways this could be applied here tonight, from proper planning, good scheduling, to going the extra mile, to being sacrificial for others, to being willing to have the right attitude for those that we're working under and for, to really look to the Lord for the right attitude, to have a desire to really produce within the will of God, to know the will of God and do it. Many, many applications. And again, I don't even know really how to give an invitation here, except that this is something that the Lord can apply. Parents in enabling their children to work. That's why we've got that paper for you there. Young people to decide, I'm going to do the best I can in school. I'm going to do the best I can in the work around the house and follow my parents and have the right attitude because it's what God wants me to do. To be diligent in all that we do. Ladies at home to really, again, and get encouraged in the Lord that He will enable you and He will teach you what to do so you can produce all that God wants you to produce. I don't know how the Lord may have applied this to you, but you say, you know, Pastor, as a believer, I want to be in the will of God, and I realize, I believe in working, but I realize I could even do better. God just touched my heart to give of myself fully. I need to be a person that is diligent. I need to be a person that works hard, that is willing to sacrifice and to produce all that God wants me to produce. I need to be responsible. And I want to even have stronger character. I want to develop better habits. I want the Spirit of God to quicken me to be the man or woman of God I ought to be. And if God has touched your heart in any area in this, with heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up and acknowledging that you want to see improvement and strengthening in our lives? All of us really could raise a hand on that because we all want to do better. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and we haven't really talked about it tonight. One thing you can't work for, and that's your salvation. Jesus did it for you. And it's important that you obey him in this matter of coming to him and trusting him alone to save you, because he already paid your price on the cross. Maybe there's somebody here and you know you need God. You're here tonight and you're burdened. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to get some things settled in my heart. I need to know for sure I'm a child of God. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up and join these others anywhere across the auditorium tonight. Lord, would you take these simple but very, very important truths, basic core truths, and Lord, help us to be honest about weak character, bad habits, wastefulness, being a little slothful at times, not really doing all that we ought to do on the job, maybe not training our children to work hard and to expect from them the best, to maybe deceiving ourselves and others about what we're doing. Lord, there are so many angles to this, and I just pray that you will apply it, and Lord, would there be victory that will make a difference, lifelong difference. Lord, would we be excellent for your name's sake. You have given all for us. We need to give all for you. So, Lord, give great victory now. Bless any that may not be saved here today. Lord, their soul is so precious to you. Would you draw them to yourself now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.